Chapter 5 Bhagavan's incarnations are one. Vaikuntha is an expansive land. Included within Vaikuntha are Ayodhya, Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, and Radhakund. Residing there is not only Krishna, but millions and millions of incarnations of Bhagavan. In the four yugas, in a manvantara, in the 250-year segments of Brahma's life, Bhagavan descends in some form or other. Upon his devotees' attainment of perfection, according to their own specific sentiment, they go to live with him in a particular section of Vaikuntha, taking darshan of their favorite Lord and serving him there. The sun is reflected in anything that acts as a mirror, but the sun and the reflection are not one. Bimba means the sun, and Pratibimba means its reflection which shines in another world. They are not one, but there is some similarity between them. Unlike the sun, however, there are so many incarnations of Bhagavan, and each and every incarnation is directly Bhagavan himself, and all are fully Satchit Ananda. In Vaikuntha, Bhagavan is not situated in Kaya-Vyuha expansions. In qualitative oneness, he is situated in many different forms for fulfilling the desires of his devotees. In the Ramayana and other scriptures, it is said that Bhagavan is one, and according to the form which the devotee is praying for, he assumes an incarnation as either Nrisimha avatar, Kurma avatar, Vamana avatar, Hayagriva avatar, so many incarnations. Bhagavan can come in many forms. Some say that originally Bhagavan has no form, and that when anyone of this world calls him, then according to that person's particular sentiment, he takes a corresponding form and appears in this world. But this idea is incorrect. All of his forms are real and eternal, and when devotees call him by the name of a specific form, then in that very form he comes. All the scriptures declare this, and they are fully authoritative due to being completely free from any defect. There are those who worship Lakshmipati Narayan with mantras such as Om Narayana Namaha or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dhruva attained perfection through this process. Some chant Om Varahaya Namaha to worship Varaha in Navadvip Dham. Some chant Om Nrisimhaya Namaha or other mantras of Nrisimhadev. And upon attaining perfection, those devotees will go to Vaikuntha, but to a special chamber in Vaikuntha. How is Narayan situated there? In one place in his Nrisimha form, and in another place in his Varaha form. When there is a necessity in this world for the presence of a particular form, then he comes in that very form. For example, when Krishna comes, he comes holding the flute as Nanda Nandana. He never changes his form. He remains in one form, yet he changes the secondary aspects of his pastimes in a special way. His performing the Rasa Leela with the gopis and playing as a child at the house of Nanda. These pastimes are eternal, but he may change the killing of Kamsa. Instead of Kamsa, it may be Jarasandha or some other person. According to the necessity of the time, the secondary pastimes may be changed, but the eternal Leela remains the same. Those who worship Narayan will go to Vaikuntha. But to which chamber in Vaikuntha? To the specific chamber where Lakshmi and Narayan reside. One who chants japa of the Nrsimha mantra will also go to Vaikuntha, but to a special chamber where there is only bhajan of Nrsimhadev. He will never see Ram or Narayan. There are differences in the pastimes of Nrsimha, Varaha and Kurma, but in Tattva they are all non-different. Before the advent of Vamanadev, the demigods worshipped a special four-armed form of Vishnu, which was established in heaven for their puja. When a special circumstance was created, then in a special form, Vamanadev had to come to snatch everything away from Bali Maharaj. At that time, Aditi, the mother of the demigods, had performed some tapasya, and because of that he came. Therefore, Vamana performs pastimes which are different from the four-armed Vishnu that is always present in heaven, but in Tattva they are one. Vamana is a little different from Vishnu in that in Vamana's pastimes there is some deception and the giving of some special good fortune also. It seemed like robbery, but there was so much kindness and bhaktavatsalyata, special affection for his devotees in it. He increased the glories of his devotee. He put Bali Maharaj into difficulty to make his name immortal for all time. If Vamana had not come, who would know the name of Bali? For protecting his devotees, he came in a very beautiful form. It seems that he came for protecting the demigods and for cheating the demons, but no, actually he benefited both. In reality, Bali Maharaj received more benefit than the demigods. The demigods got no special benefit, but Bali Maharaj did. Vamana snatched the desire for material enjoyment away from Bali and gave him bhakti. But he didn't snatch away the demigods' facility for enjoyment. Rather, he provided it by returning their kingdom to them. So to whom was he more kind? But like Indra, we desire and pray, O Prabhu, please don't snatch our material enjoyment away. Be merciful like this and make our lives plentiful. My son, daughter, money and wife, please don't take them. I will do bhajan, but they will remain with me also. But some pray, Prabhu, you please take all this away and give me pure love at your lotus feet. Which of these is correct? If in both hands there is a laddu, will you desire both or only one? If Bhagavan says, all right, you take the happiness of material enjoyment and together with that take pure love for me also, and he puts both into your hands, certainly we will take the material enjoyment and not the bhakti. But if we really desire prem, then this enjoying spirit must be eradicated. Otherwise, there will be cheating and deception in our bhakti. But 99% of the people in this world desire it like this. Our material enjoyment must remain intact. Our family must remain. Our money and palatable food must remain. Our business must go on nicely. And together with all this, we will have bhakti. So Prabhu says, all right, but he gives them only ordinary bhakti to accompany their material enjoyment. To the demigods, Bhagavan gives the responsibility of protecting the world, but the material world is temporary. He says, do this service for me, and gives them their posts. But then some of them think, I have become the master of the three worlds. Prabhu has given me this position, and now I am the master of the entire Brahmand. They don't understand that this is actually an obstacle to bhakti. So he placed this very allurement in the hands of Indra and snatched that same allurement away from Bali Maharaj, giving him pure bhakti instead. Many people do not understand that this is the special activity of mercy he performed for Bali. Assuming an incarnation in this world and performing such beautiful pastimes is something which Narayan will not do. The four-armed form that is present there in heaven will not do this. Narayan will never cheat as Vamana did. He will also bestow prema, but he won't allow himself to be viewed as a cheater. Vamana cheated in the vision of ordinary people. He begged for 3 steps of land, then made his steps very, very large and stole everything. Vamana will perform such variegated pastimes and may even be seen as a cheater, but Narayan will never do this. So in this way, in the pastimes of Ram and other incarnations of Bhagavan, there is uniqueness. In Tattva, they are all one, but in his pastimes, rasa, and specific affectionate dealings with his devotees, there will be some differences. In the scriptures, it says that there is a final dissolution when the 2 50-year segments of Brahma's life have passed. Along with Brahma, nature will merge into Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Then he also will disappear, and all will merge into Karanadakshayi Vishnu. So many jivas will merge into the limbs of Vishnu at that time, and those that are liberated will go to Vaikuntha with Brahma. The others will again become embodied and return to this chakra or cycle of Maya. At that time, Mahamina, the fish incarnation, is to be seen. After Markandeya Rishi had been performing austerities for a long time, one day he was bathing in the Ganga and a small fish came into his kamandalu. He took it home, and then the fish said, "O Rishi, I have come into your kamandalu, but there is no space for me here. Please place me in a larger body of water." Then Markandeya looked and saw that really the fish had become larger. So he placed the fish in a small pond. But after some time, the fish came to him in a dream and said, "Rishiji, now I am so big, I can no longer stay in this pond." So Markandeya lifted the fish out and placed him in the river. But the fish again enlarged in the river and said, "Here also I cannot stay. Please place me in the ocean." By his yogic power, Markandeya placed the fish in the ocean. Then he saw in a dream that there was to be a causal dissolution, like the one at the end of Brahma's day. The final dissolution comes at the end of Brahma's 100 years. But this and the one that comes at the end of his day can both be called Nitya Pralaya. The fish said, "The water will be rising, and I will come to you. You must collect seeds of all the things in the world, vegetable seeds, a mango seed, a mustard seed, everything. Then you must collect 2 of each species of bird and animal, and be ready to attach a strong boat to me in the morning when I arrive." During the night, Markandeya made the arrangement. He made a strong boat with a rope attached to it, and placed the seeds of all species of life in it. When he was ready, he saw that the entire universe was being flooded with flowing water, and nothing could be seen. The water was slowly rising, and gradually covered all the high places. The fish had assumed a massive form with 2 horns, and he said, "Bind the boat to my horns." The Rishi did so, and Mahimina took everyone away in the water. This dissolution lasts for 1 whole night of Brahma. The Rishi went without eating or drinking the entire time, and he couldn't find a place to take some rest. Thinking, "What kind of life is this?" he was very unhappy. Eventually, they arrived at Prayag. There, Markandeya could see only a banyan tree and nothing else. At the top of the tree, there was only 1 leaf where Vatsyaya Vishnu was sleeping and performing the pastime of sucking his toe. He looked towards the Rishi very mercifully and consoled him and transmitted Shakti into him. He made an arrangement for the Rishi's sustenance and then said, "In a few days this will all be over and you will again become a Prajapati, and from Brahma all creation will again take place." This is one Mina avatar. This Mina avatar resides in Vaikuntha, and when the necessity arises, he comes to this world. This tattva is non-different from Narayan. His pastimes are variegated, but in tattva they are one. Another Mina incarnation protected the Vedas. The demons had stolen the Vedas and thrown them into the water of the dissolution, and the Vedas had disappeared. The tendency of demons is to be greatly destructive. And now also, we see that the Vedic Shastras are slowly disappearing. If people don't respect them, what will happen? They will disappear slowly. The Vedas will not remain. You won't be able to find the Bhagavatam. And such spiritual talks will disappear altogether. The mood of Vrindavan and Mathura will change, and after some time, men will also change. They won't respect sadhus and saints, and they won't respect the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Like this, the Vedas had disappeared, and to protect them, another Mina incarnation appeared. This Mina incarnation saved Satyabrata Muni, who had at that time offered a prayer known as Damodarashtaka. Taking so many things with him, he stayed in the ocean for a long time, and the Vedas and scriptures were kept in his heart. Again the dissolution was finished, and again in the four directions creation took place. So there is not one Mina incarnation, but many. In Vaikuntha also, there are different chambers suitable for their particular devotees, and Satyavrata Muni's worshipable lord is this particular Mina incarnation. There is also the Kurma avatar. At the time of churning the ocean of milk, the demons and demigods came together and agreed that everything produced from the churning would be distributed. Vishnu, through the medium of Brahma, gave them some advice. Otherwise nothing would have been produced. They made the decision to churn the ocean, and in the middle of it they placed the Mandara mountain. But there was no foundation for it, so the mountain immediately sank. They thought, "This will be very difficult. How will we remove it from the ocean? How will we find a foundation upon which to churn?" So they worshipped Vishnu, and he came in the form of a tortoise, Kurma. "For your good fortune, I will accept the form of a tortoise. Place the mountain on me, wind the snake, Vasuki, around it, and then churn." They placed the mountain on Vishnu, who was below in the form of a tortoise, and wrapped the king of snakes, Vasuki, around it. In one direction was the mouth of Vasuki, and in the other direction was his tail. The demigods said to the demons, "Since we are senior to you, we will take the direction of the head. We are worthy of more respect than you." The demons replied, "No, we will not give you this respect. We will take the direction of the head. The tail is lower. We will not take it." So the demons demanded the head side, not understanding the trickery of the demigods. But the demigods insisted, "You are our little brothers, the sons of Diti. Therefore, from whatever is produced by the churning, we will take first, and you will take the remainder. And since we are senior to you, we will take the direction of Vasuki's head." But the demons were adamant, "No, it can never be like that. We are superior. What is this, that we are younger? We are superior. We will take the direction of the head." The demigods actually wanted to take the tail end, because they knew that in the midst of the churning, during the hissing of the snake, deadly poison would be emitted from his mouth. But the demons didn't know this. They quickly grabbed the mouth end, and while making a great effort to churn it, it became very hot. Poison was produced from the snake, and they were burnt. They thought, "The demigods have tricked us. All right, next time we will understand everything. We will do exactly the opposite of what they say." As they churned the ocean of milk, first poison was produced. Then Lakshmi Devi came out. Then nectar was produced. Danvantari came out. The white elephant of the demigods was produced. A horse was produced, and many other wonderful things. When Lakshmi Devi appeared, she looked all around and wondered, "Who will I marry?" She began considering and felt that everyone she saw was full of faults. She saw everyone, even Brahma, and she rejected them all. Finally, Vishnu came there, and she put a garland around his neck and married him. While the churning was going on, Kurma had an itching sensation on his back, and the churning movement of the massive mountain scratched his itch. At that time, his breathing in and out created the low and high tides of the ocean. Some say the influence of the moon is the cause of this, but the cause given in the scriptures is correct. Another Kurma incarnation appeared in another yuga or Manvantara to support the earth planet throughout its entire duration. There are two separate Kurma incarnations. Regarding Varahadev, before the creation, there was only water. Brahma heard a sound indicating that he should perform tapasya, austerities. After this, he met Narayan and heard the Chatushloki of the Bhagavatam and was empowered to create. But for creation, there must be a foundation. But at that time, there was no base because the earth was submerged in water. So Varaha, in the form of a very, very small entity, like a weevil, emerged from Brahma's nose and immediately doubled in size. Then when he was a little distance away, he assumed a form so large that he filled the entire sky, and he jumped straight into the ocean with both his snout and his feet pointed downward. Such violent waves were produced that they even reached up to heaven and Brahmaloka, and water was spread in all directions. When Varahadev arrived at Rasatala, he took the earth on his snout and established it above the water. This is one of Varaha's incarnations. There is another Varaha incarnation who found that when he went to Rasatala, Hiranyaksha was there waiting for him. Hiranyaksha had been searching for his equal in heroics, and he had asked Narad where he would find such a person. He was told to go to Varunadev, who told him, "Yes, you will find a suitable opponent, and he will grind you to pieces." "Who is this person?"
"Vishnu," he replied.
"Where can I find him?"
"He is everywhere, but finding him is very, very difficult. When you meet him, he will destroy your pride."
Hiranyaksha was told that if he went to Rasatala at the time of the final dissolution, he would meet Vishnu there. He arrived there first, and he remained waiting there for a very long time, submerged in the water. Finally, Varaha arrived there and took the earth on his snout. Just as a huge elephant holds a small flower, or as someone holds a mustard seed, it was so easy for him. He established the earth above the water and then returned to fight with the demon. They fought for thousands of years, and in the end, Varaha killed Hiranyaksha with his club, thereby destroying his pride. Then he disappeared. These are two separate Varaha incarnations. One is white and the other is black. Another incarnation
is Yajñavaraha. In each of his pores are millions of Brahmandas, and he accepts the results of sacrifice. By his mercy, the earth heard the Puranas, the same ones written by Vyas. So from this we can understand that the Puranas are eternal. Devotees prayed to this Varaha because the earth's surface was too rough and they were unable to do any farming. It would not retain water, and the people could not live without grains and water. So being merciful, Varaha incarnated, and with his teeth he uprooted big mountains and made the earth's surface smooth. This is the nature of a bore, that with his snout he digs. Afterwards the earth appeared as if it had been ploughed. At that time, the earth personified assumed the form of a female bore. Her name was Dhartri Devi. She was the Shakti of Bhu Devi. Vishnu assumed the form of a bore, so she became a female bore. And from them, Narakasura was born. Originally his name was Dhatri Nandana, not Narakasura. But as a result of falling into bad association, he became a demon. Association is what gives bhakti to any heart, and that which can make it disappear. It is the cause of our bondage or liberation. We will become just like those with whom we keep company. So therefore, bad association is the most dangerous enemy of our hearts. By keeping bad company, even the son of Bhagavan and the earth personified became sinful. Whose company did he keep? Duryodhan, Shakuni, Kamsa, and Jarasandha, so many people who were opposed to Krishna, and all were atheistic. He took the association of all these people and then tried to give Bhagavan trouble. Therefore, he became known as Narakasura. Altogether, there are five Varaha incarnations mentioned in the scriptures. They all reside in Vaikuntha, and when there is a necessity for one of them in this world, he comes and gives darshan to his devotees in that very form. After those devotees attain perfection, they go to Vaikuntha to serve him directly there as well. There are different incarnations of Nrsingadev also. One incarnation killed Hiranyakashipu and protected Prahlad. Another is Matrichakra Pramata. Matrichakra means those women who were detrimental to the welfare of the world. When their power increased, Nrsingha Bhagavan appeared to subdue them. Another incarnation came in the form of a cat and performed many different pastimes. He also subdued demons and protected devotees. In South India, there is one deity called Jiya Nrsingha and another called Pana Nrsingha. They are separate incarnations. They appeared in different kalpas, and there are differences in their pastimes. There was once a wild boar in a kingdom where in all directions there were mountains and jungle. In that place was a farmer who was a great devotee. He was growing corn, and every day this boar came and ate it and destroyed his crop. He was upset that his field was being destroyed, so he constructed a platform in the middle of the field. He thought that he would sit there during the night and watch for that boar. That night, the boar came and broke everything again. So taking a stick, the farmer got down from the platform and chased it. The boar ran with the farmer following behind, and after a little while, laughing, the boar stopped and stood, displaying the form of Nrsingha. For the purpose of mercifully giving you my darshan, I have done this. Now you can offer corn to me. It is my favorite food, and I will fulfill all the desires of your heart. Get money from the king and establish me on top of that mountain where only champa flowers grow." He was Nrisimha, but he assumed the form of a boar. On the day of Akshaya Tritya, the pujaris apply chandan to the deity, and he reveals his form as a boar. That's all. Only on one day of the year he gives that darshan. This is Jiya Nrisimha, and he appeared in one particular kalpa. Therefore, in some places, devotees worship a confined form of Nrisimha and Varaha. In this way, Hayagriva, Hansa, in the scriptures you will find 2, 4, or 5 of each incarnation, but their tattva is one. According to the sentiments of their devotees, and for receiving different types of service from them, they are all eternally residing in Vaikuntha. Speaking to Gop Kumar in Vaikuntha, Narad is saying, "Here people are performing puja of Parashuram, of Nrisimha, of Vamana, of many incarnations. If a devotee comes here and performs puja to a particular deity, and then after some time leaves that puja for the puja of another deity, there is no fault in it. In your lifetime, you have worshipped many incarnations of Bhagavan. Therefore, according to one's nishta, you can go here and there, because Bhagavan is one. I'm telling you this because I can see that you are not liking it here. Even while in Vaikuntha, if your internal swarup is that of a gopa, then you will always desire to worship Gopal. Therefore, you are not happy here. There is no fault in this. This is a very deep thing. It is not written anywhere. But taking your pulse, I have ascertained the reason for your dissatisfaction. Here, will Lakshmi Devi allow anyone else to massage the feet of her Prabhu? Will she allow anyone to serve him food? She won't. She thinks, it is my duty alone. You can only stand at a distance and offer prayers to him. If some devotee comes here and tries to sit on the lap of Narayan as Prahlad sits on the lap of Nrisimha, she won't allow it. From here, you should continue your journey and you will experience more variegated pastimes and more intimate rasa. I have explained all of this to you so that first you will understand that all incarnations of Bhagavan are one in tattva. Therefore, there is no fault in leaving one incarnation to go to another, because they are all one and the same. They only appear different to accommodate the various sentiments of their devotees." Thus ends chapter 5 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.